Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I selected our gospel hymn for this morning because our colic for today uses two words, always and never, two words that make me squirm uncomfortably with the doubts of uncertainty that are a vital element of my Christian faith, doubt and uncertainty. And how has this happened to me? On our last days at class at my Lutheran seminary, and I've told you this story before, some of you will remember, my theology professor Robert Jensen advised us, when you leave here, ladies and gentlemen, you will be ordained into the busy life of parish ministry where your mind will wither and decay. Do not let that happen. Keep up your reading and your study as part of your ministry the rest of your life. And I have tried to do that. I've been faithful to Jensen's charge that morning some 35 years ago. And I've also tried to be faithful to the proverb in the lintel over the library door of my other seminary, Virginia Episcopal, seek the truth, come whence it may, cost what it will. And so I seek. I do seek. But the cost is great. The cost is very great indeed. You see, there are costs, there are problems with reading and study and learning. And this is true for me especially, in that the more I read and study and learn, I find the less I know. And the less I know, and I see that the less the church knows, because what we preach is faith, not knowledge. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And a product of my years is the realization that while my love of God is great, my knowledge of God, I know nothing. I know nothing. I study, I seek, I feel, I believe, but I know nothing. The Nicene Creed itself, the faith statement that we stand and recite faithfully together in faith every Sunday morning, only says we believe. It never says we know, because we do not know. We believe, and it's belief. Our belief is belief. It's faith that relies on and trusts what others heard and said and wrote down 2,000 years ago. In the early part of my life, as an adult, I was a sometime amateur astronomer, and gazing out into the universe, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, planets, and stars, gazing from, as our Eucharistic prayer C says, from this fragile earth, our island home, and my reading and study and gazing has only stirred my conflict, stirred my doubt, fightings and fears within, without. As Charlotte Elliott wrote in the testimony of her evangelical hymn that has called so many thousands upon thousands down the aisle to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But as I study and I gaze, I can hardly imagine, much less believe, that Kyrie Pentecreator, Lord Creator of all that is, could love me, even me, speck on a speck, just as I am, the way I am. The prospect is wild. The promise is incredible. Me, just as I am. Oh my God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved over churning chaos, and God said, Logos, the creating word igniting the explosion of our universe into being, Genesis chapter 1. And then John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Genesis and the law, John, the gospel, are one and the same. The immensity of Logos, the creating word, is absolutely incomprehensible until we behold the face of Jesus Christ, born from infinite eternity into our tiny speck of a world, the Logos himself, in time, walking from village to village with a gospel about the love of God, born not only, nor even in my mind especially, to save us from our fear of dying, but to bring forth in our lives the fruits of the Spirit, faith, hope, and love, where the greatest is love. That is why the Logos came, to teach us to love. I remember my father, in response to anyone who asked him, "Are you saved? Are you sure for heaven?" My father, a lifelong Episcopalian, liked to say, "We don't have a religion to die by. We have a faith to live by." And as I read the Bible and look beyond the stars of night, or go out this afternoon and look into the blue firmament of day, I stretch my imagination and my credulity and my hope, and I take a leap of faith to stand on the promises of God. It does not seem possible that whoever or whatever created this expanse of universe could actually love me. And can it be? Died he for me who caused his pain? Can it be? If you struggle, I struggle with you. If you doubt, consider my experience that doubt is the cornerstone of faith and that uncertainty is the mortar of faith's foundation. My faith is ephemeral, it's fleeting. My faith is no more concrete than the straw and tar that the ancients used to cement that Tower of Babel that God came down and laughed at as they tried to build their way up to heaven to be equal with God. But you see, that is right and good because as Hebrews 11 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith is not certainty. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, it goes on to say, by faith we understand that the world was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was made out of things which do not appear. I seek the truth, but I live on a promise, because as a thinking, intelligent being, I have no alternative by faith except to believe. And what do I believe? Jesus loves me because the Bible tells me so. And as our gospel two Sundays ago said, Lord, to whom would I go? You have the words of eternal life. So for me, going away, walking away from Jesus is not an option. Though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, I'm standing on the promises anyway. Now, I begin with the advice of my theology professor to read and study all my life, and with wisdom from another seminary to seek the truth, come whence it may, cost what it will. And in living into and through all that, I've become something of a theologian myself, God forbid. But it couldn't be helped, you see. And it'll happen to you also. If you read and study with wisdom and integrity and do not go eisegetically with folly and simplicity into the Bible to prove your certainties. The downside, of course, is that in seeking, I have discovered the costly truth that the more I learn, the less I know. Unlike the lower animals, that's a human cost of living in the divine image instead of in blissful, naive ignorance like an animal, an ape, or a dog. In the image of God, he created me. Male and female, he created us with the power of self-contemplation. And so, in faith, I know that I know nothing. But I love the stories, and I love the Bible, and I love the songs, and I love the prayers, and I even love the creed, even though I know too much about it. I love the Shema, Hear, O Israel, with which I began my walk to the pulpit this morning. I love the bread and the wine that are offered to me as the substance, the essence of the Word of God. Most of all, I love you just as you are, the way you are. And when all is heard and written and read and studied and believed, that's what my faith is about. A Christian, I'm a believer, I believe. What I believe is that love is what God requires of me as I walk in the way of his cross. And Lord, to delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without. This is me. I confess this to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.